including from some of our friends in Narrowsburg, Mayor Wozner, Narrowsburg proper, River Gallery, and more. See the selection of all the great items that you can bid on during the fundraising auction now. Fabulous online auction open for bidding. Just go to WJFFradio.org. Clear tonight with lows in the lower 50s, sunny tomorrow with highs around 70. And the local edition is coming up right after the news headlines. We'll talk to Wayne County Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, and we'll also talk to the Catskill Art Society about their pride plans. That's coming up.
Live from NPR News in Culver City, California, I'm Dwayne Brown. California Governor Gavin Newsom is denouncing a federal judge's decision upending the state's decades-old law banning military-style assault weapons. Newsom says the state is appealing last week's ruling, and he blasted Republicans, calling them hypocrites on crime and safety.
This has always been a bipartisan issue. Protecting your kids, our families, our community. We're folks that wax on about public safety, and they sit back passively and say nothing about this outrageous decision.
Governor Newsom also called out federal judge Roger Benitez, accusing him of being a stone-cold ideologue beholden to the NRA. He says the ruling goes against at least six other federal decisions upholding assault weapons bans in California and elsewhere. The state attorney general says the ban will remain in effect as California appeals the decision. A new intergovernmental report finds climate change and nature loss are interrelated, and it says they must be solved together, as NPR's Nathan Rott reports.
The peer-reviewed report is the first collaboration between the United Nations Intergovernmental Panels on Climate Change and Biodiversity, and it comes before world leaders meet to address both later this year. At its core, the report says one crisis cannot be solved without addressing the other. Anne-Laure Gaudry, a French ecologist and the executive director of the Biodiversity Panel, says science is increasingly showing it's important to protect natural ecosystems.
And to restore them in order to really make nature work for us in solving some of our most acute issues.
Climate change, chief among them. Nathan Rott, NPR News.
The Labor Department says jobless claims fell for the sixth straight week as the U.S. economy reopens rapidly after being held back for months by the virus pandemic. This is NPR. UNICEF reports child labor has risen to 160 million globally, reversing years of progress made toward ending this scourge. As Lisa Schlein in Geneva reports, the agency warns children are at increased risk because of the coronavirus pandemic.
Nearly half the children, or 79 million, are involved in hazardous work, which is harmful to their physical and mental health and could cause death. UNICEF Executive Director Henrietta Fore says the COVID-19 pandemic is worsening this terrible situation.
9 million more children could be pushed into child labor by the end of next year, a number that could rise as high as 46 million if social protection coverage falls victim to countries' austerity measures.
The report finds child labor continues to decrease in the Asia-Pacific region, Latin America, and the Caribbean, but has risen alarmingly in Africa and sub-Saharan Africa. For NPR News, I'm Lisa Schlein in Geneva.
As the U.S. economy recovers from the pandemic recession, mortgage rates remain near historic lows. Mortgage buyer Freddie Mac says the benchmark 30-year fixed-rate loan dipped to 2.96% last week, while the average for a 15-year fixed-rate loan fell to 2.23%. Stocks finished modestly higher on Wall Street today. This is NPR.
And this is the local edition, community news and information for the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm Tim Bruno, sitting in for Jason Dole. And then later today in the show, we'll check in with the Catskill Arts Society about their pride plans. But it's Thursday, so that means first we're going to check in with our friends in Wayne County. Coming up Saturday, Wayne County will be recognizing female veterans for Women's Veterans Day. Monday is Flag Day. They're celebrating that, too. Here to talk about all this and more is the director of Wayne County's Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, Vicki Wargo. Hi, Vicki.
Hi. Thank you so much for for having me.
Of course. Before we get into the events coming up, I understand congratulations are in order. You were recently appointed director for the department, so congratulations.
Yes, I've been here about two and a half months now.
All right. Well, that's not too long at the department in this short time. What are some of the issues you've seen that are facing the military and veterans in Wayne County?
You know, I'm seeing a lot of elderly veterans, whether they are disabled or not. They're aging, in need of services. And I'm also seeing, you know, it's so far in Wayne County between north and south, and the travel distance is a problem for a lot of these veterans. So I'm hoping eventually to be able to bring more services closer to home for them.
And your role there at the Military and Veterans Affairs Department is to assist the veterans and military and their dependents.
Yes.
With all these issues that they have to go through. You have multiple locations throughout the county where folks can seek help and get this kind of assistance. I would imagine that having those multiple locations helps in reaching more veterans.
Yes. You know, I'm in Honesdale Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. And I should note that for the first time, this has become a full-time position in Wayne County. So thankfully, it's much easier to get a hold of me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm in Honesdale Monday, Tuesday, and Thursdays from 8:30 to 3:30. Then the first and third Wednesdays, I'm in the Hamlin Senior Center. That's on Route 590. It's actually 606 Route 590 in Hamlin. It's just past the UPS store. And those hours are from 8:30 to 3:30. And then the Hawley Senior Center, which is on 300 Park Place, that's right beside the park in Hawley, I'm there on the second and fourth Wednesdays from 8:30 to 3:30.
Well, you're
and I usually, when I'm talking to somebody, especially the phone number, I'll try to see if perhaps it is closer for them to go to Hawley or Hamlin before making an appointment in Honesdale.
Yeah, you're there full time now, which is great, and you're visible to various parts of the county. What's some of the feedback that you're hearing from some of the veterans that you're encountering?
You know, they're very grateful that it has turned into a full-time position. Part-time, we have over 44,500 veterans in Wayne County. And the increased hours has greatly increased my visibility. I hope to go out to the different VFW and American Legion centers, you know, after a time. And I can return phone calls so much easier now that it is a full-time position.
And it looks like you got a busy couple of days coming up. We mentioned in the introduction that Women's Veterans Day is coming up on Saturday. I did not know there was a Women's Veterans Day, which is designated June 12th every year. It just started in 2018, and it's to mark
I'm really excited about this.
Yeah. It marks the 70th anniversary of the Women's Armed Services Integration Act, which was actually passed back in 1948. But what can you tell us about Women's Veterans Day and what you'll be doing in Wayne County to observe and celebrate?
Actually, we held it already. We had services or ceremonies in Honesdale and the Hamlin Senior Centers both. We recognized the female veterans. Okay, usually on Veterans Day, granted, all veterans, are recognized. But us women have a tendency to take a back seat, and this brings our contribution to light and to the forefront. So much has changed over the years. After World War II, and even in wars before that, women have always fought in the wars and secondary roles, nurses, cooks, any supporting roles like that. But then when the war was over, they were discharged. Beginning with Truman's Act signed in 1948, it allowed women to stay in all four branches of the military, and most importantly, they were now considered to be veterans. In previous wars, yes, with the women served, but no, they were not considered veterans. This gives them a lot more rights to services afterwards.
Well, and more recognition, too. And since you had the event, what were some of the reaction from some of the women's vets that were celebrating with you?
They were absolutely pleased, thrilled, and honored. And it was an honor for me to recognize these women. Each generation, and it's a long march, each generation does more and more. You know, in today's Army, which I happen to say my daughter is a part of, women are now allowed to serve in combat zones. They are infantry. They are fighter pilots. They're completely beside the men in every way now.
It's 2021, people. We're glad that the Women's Veterans Day is actually being celebrated. Also being celebrated coming up Monday, Flag Day, the day commemorating the adoption of Stars and Stripes as the official flag of the United States. What's going to be happening for that ceremony, Flag Day? I guess it's going to be in person this year.
The ceremony starts at 11 o'clock on Monday in front of the courthouse in Honesdale. The colors will be presented by American Legion Post 807 out of Hamlin. We're going to have a student from Wayne Highlands Chorus. She'll be singing the national anthem, and she will be singing, oh dear, the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Sorry. She'll be singing both the National Anthem and the Battle Hymn of the Republic. We'll also have a Pledge of Allegiance, of course, that'll be followed actually immediately after the presenting of the colors. And the students or the commissioners will be having to say a few words also.
Mm-hmm. And that's starting at 11 on Monday in front of the courthouse in Honesdale, right?
Yeah, and all the public is invited to attend.
Great. Where can folks get more information about the services that the department offers in Wayne County?
They can go online, and the address is www.waynecountypa.gov. Okay, it's under government, and scroll down to Veterans Affairs.
And then, you'll find links to you'll see all the office hours, all the locations, also quick links to the Veterans Discount Program and the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. And we should note that your department is fully accredited by the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Before we go, I just wanted to ask, what does your daughter in the military think of Mom as the new director of the Wayne County Department of Military and Veterans Affairs?
I think she's kind of excited. She's in Germany right now, so I don't get to really talk to her that much, but she'll be coming home soon after 3 years, so I'm excited to see her, and she brings home a little guy that's 8 months old, too, that I've never seen yet. So.
Well, that's great. That's awesome. Well, thank her for her service, and thank you for joining us today to talk about Wayne County's Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. We've been talking to...
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Yes, of course. We've been talking to Vicki Wargo. She's the director of Wayne County's Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, and you can find more information at waynecountypa.gov. Vicki, have a great night. Thanks so much.
Thank you. You too.
You're listening to the Local Edition, community news and information for the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. We'll check in with the Catskill Arts Society coming up after a short break about their Pride plans. It's Pride Month, and every week on Radio Catskills Local Edition, we are celebrating too. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The latest top 40 British folk music album chart is just out. So next time on The Waggaload of Monkeys with me, Graham Rice, here on WJFF Radio Catskill, we'll be hearing the newcomers and the high flyers. So join me, please, to The Waggaload of Monkeys chart show next Sunday afternoon at 3.
WJFF's fabulous online auction is happening now.
Win great items and support Radio Catskill.
Generous businesses and organizations have donated great gifts and amazing items for you to bid on.
go to wjffradio.org.
Bid, win, support your public radio station for the Catskills, Northeast Pennsylvania.
WJFF's fabulous online auction at wjffradio.org.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from the Hurleyville Performing Arts Center, featuring a state-of-the-art cinema available for private rental. Plan an afternoon or evening at the movies for yourself, that special someone, your family, or your pod. HurleyvilleArtsCenter.org. From the River Reporter newspaper in Narrowsburg, riverreporter.com. And from listeners like you who donate at WJFFradio.org.
You're listening to the local edition, community news and information for the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm Tim Bruno, sitting in for Jason Dole. It's LGBTQ plus Pride Month, and every week on the local edition, we're checking in with community organizations about their Pride plans. Catskill Arts Society is celebrating with a series of ongoing programs for people of all ages. Pride at CAS's multidisciplinary program presents an array of celebrations of queer identity and creativity, featuring queer artists, poets, dancers, choreographers, and educators local to the Western Catskills. Radio Catskills' Patricio Rubio spoke to Sally Wright, the executive director for the Catskill Arts Society in Livingston Manor. He spoke to her earlier today about all of their plans and programs.
We're thrilled to present a multidisciplinary program really celebrating the talent of queer identity and creativity here in the Western Catskills. So we've invited a series of queer artists, poets, dancers, choreographers, and educators, all local to our region, to lead this program. And we're excited. It's varied and embraces people of all ages and interests. So we're thrilled to be able to present this and celebrate and honor this incredibly important time.
Right, definitely. And I see at the programming list, you have programs that are geared toward different age groups, and which is great to see. As a parent myself, it's great to see that a place like CAS, an art gallery, has programming for young children, because I think it's a great way to have them introduced into the art field and to the art world and be have it be interactive and fun and great way to learn. Can you talk more about that programming? What actually the kids will learn and what are these being offered?
Absolutely. So our CAS Kids program is our completely free drop-in based arts education program. And our June program is focused around celebrating queer artists. And in doing so, we look historically at their work and where they fit into the canon, but then also look at their practice and make it approachable to kids of all ages. So for children 4 to 7, they're learning about the work of famed graffiti artist Keith Haring. So looking at his very graphic images, making some of their own, collaborating on a greater mural, which was a part of Keith Haring's work himself. And then for our older kids, ages 8 to 12, they're looking at the work of sculptor Thomas Lanigan Schmidt, who is a phenomenal multidisciplinary artist who also was really active in Stonewall protests and was an incredible figure in that respect.
Right. And that's happening this weekend, right? June 12th?
Yes, that's happening this weekend and next. Our younger kids are invited from 9 to 9:45, and the older group is from 10 to 10:45. It is a drop-in-based program. We do encourage you to email us to register so that we're certainly able to accommodate you.
Right. And this has happened at the Laundry King, which is a couple of steps away from the actual main gallery, correct?
Exactly. So the Laundry King is our annex performance and exhibition space at 65 Main Street. We are programming there while we are embarking on our major renovation and expansion at CAS Arts Center.
What is the email where folks can email you and find out about the programming and to see if there's space available for them to attend?
So you can reach us at info@catskillartsociety.org. And all this information is on our website at catskillartsociety.org.
Right. And like I say, you were just talking about the renovations. I know the CAS has been developing the renovation program for a while. I saw early plans a couple of years ago. What is the current status now?
So we have embarked on construction and we are well underway. and it's excited. We've completed demolition as well as some preliminary framing, and we're now finally getting a real idea as to what the space will look like. So we are occupying our previously unused second floor space, and there we're going to install work by James Terrell, Saul Lewitt, and Narrowsburg local Francis Capes. So we are thrilled and excited with this.
So the lower level, the main level of the gallery, that's being renovated. And I, of course, I remember in the past there were talks about having a multi-use theater room in the second level. Is that still happening?
Yeah. So on the second floor, we love a multi-purpose performance space that will allow us to have larger lectures, performances, screenings, things of that sort, which we are just bursting at the seams on our ground floor and realize we really need adequate space to do so. The ground floor is remaining much as it is, so the front two galleries as well as our two studio spaces in the back. Our multi-purpose studio will be expanded to accommodate our CAST Kids program, which continues to grow, and we will still have our ceramic studio in the back, which we are is a huge favorite of our communities.
When is the planned end date for the renovations at the gallery?
It's a great question. I think likely late spring 2022.
If you could just go back to Pride Month at CAST that's being celebrated all month, how long have CAST been celebrating Pride Month at the gallery?
So we have always embraced the queer community in different aspects of our programming. But this is our first year in which we are really dedicating all of our programs in June specifically to celebrate Pride. It feels especially salient and immediate in this past year of tremendous reflection as well as greater sense of awareness with Black Lives Matter movement. And it feels so important that CAST as an organization is a place for representation and celebration of diversity and inclusion. I'm just so taken by the tremendous talent which we have here. And for me, this is such an important means of representation and celebration. As we live in such a small rural community, I think of the queer student or child who may feel like they are not seen and represented in their student body, represented in our program here at CAST.
Right, which is very important for a young person that they can see somebody who's like them, be successful and create artwork and be someone in their community and expand their influence around.
Me too. That's why we've really tried to expand the program to appeal to all ages and interests. Our Queer Plants and Gardens is really exciting. We're working with Mimi McGurl as well as Tanis Kowalczyk. Mimi is an incredible dramaturge and botanist who is addressing some really provocative and interesting questions about gender and racial perception in performance of flowers and other ideas of botany, combined with a performance from Tanis and Jess Beveridge of Farm Arts Collective that will be happening concurrently. So again, it speaks to this multidisciplinary, multi-pronged approach and celebration of identity.
Now, I'm looking at the schedule now, and I see the program that's happening this weekend for teens. And I find it interesting that it's going to have the teens there, not only have them be presented the artwork for the person, but you know, during that process, I'm sure they're going to learn about the artist and learn about their influences and what made them want to create work. And in doing so, I would imagine that you're also learning history and you're learning about things you might not have heard in school or just heard. But here you're getting a first person's account and how they experienced it and what they do. And maybe there's something in there that they could connect to.
Absolutely. And that's also a part of a later program we have on June 25th called Pride in Poetry, where Douglas A. Martin of Calicoon and Jameen C.O. of Coshepton, both who are poetry scholars and poets in their own right are really looking critically at the canon of queer poets and looking at representation and perhaps lack thereof of queer poets, people of color, trans, bi, lesbian community to make it more expansive and inclusive, as well as reading their own work.
So as we're wrapping up here before we leave, is there anything that I have not touched on that you want our listeners to know about?
Yeah, so I'd love to introduce our Queer Bodies in Dance talk back with Neil Greenberg. Neil Greenberg is a tremendous choreographer and academic who is going to be leading our participating choreographers and dancers in a conversation on the poetics and politics of gay bodies in dance. And it's looking at some really intersectional ideas around race, gender, class, economics. Neil is a formidable force in the dance world, and we are inviting the choreographers and dancers who will be presenting an immersive dance performance on Main Street in Livingston Manor on Saturday, June 26th, to participate. So it's a really self-reflective program, which I'm so thrilled about and excited to see.
Oh, that's great. And as you said, it's called Queer Bodies in Dance, and it's a talk back with Neil Greenberg, and you said it's happening on June 26th at 3 o'clock, right?
Yes, you got it.
Sounds like you guys have an exciting month ahead of you. Sally, thank you so much for talking to us, and really do really appreciate it. We were talking to Sally Wright, Executive Director for the Catskill Art Society in Livingston Manor, and we're talking about CAS Pride Month and other programs that are being offered this month at the gallery. Sally, thank you so much for speaking to me. I do really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is Patricia Robayo for WJFF Radio Catskill.
You can find more information about the Catskill Art Society's Pride events and more at their website, catskillartsociety.org. And a programming note on Radio Catskill, Saturday, we will be speaking with Mimi McGurl, who Sally mentioned is hosting a queer gardening event about queer plants and gardens. Jesse Sposato, our contributor for Catskill, will be talking to Mimi McGurl Saturday at 10. And that's all for this edition of The Local Edition. Tune in tomorrow, and Jason's back. He's going to be speaking with Barry Lewis from the Times Herald Record about his column. And also we'll get a conversation with the new lens on counterculture, photographs by Mark Goff. That's coming up tomorrow on The Local Edition, community news and information for the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. Coming up next, it's John Gordon with Ramble Tamble live from Honesdale. Thanks for listening and have a good night.
Radio Catskill's fabulous online auction is bursting with great gifts and amazing items for you to bid on, including the DeBruce Tasting Menu, the Chi Hive, the Calicoon Theater, Catskill's Cycle Works, River Family Wellness. Win great items and support Radio Catskill. Register and bid now. Go to WJFFradio.org. Bid, win, support Radio Catskill.
For 50 years, NPR has brought you perspective on the news, the big picture, the crucial context. Public radio is also a place for perspectives you might not hear anywhere else.
50 years from now, when people are wondering what happened with the Minneapolis uprisings of 2020, they can literally come back to these boards and learn the entire history just from what's painted here.
Listen to NPR and hear every voice.
Radio Catskill, your NPR station for the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania.
Just 1 minute before 7, and we're going to go live to Honesdale for John Gordon and Ramble Tamble. Tonight's forecast for the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania, clear with lows in the lower 50s. Sunny tomorrow, not as warm, highs around 70. Tomorrow night, lows in the lower 50s again. Saturday, sunny with highs in the mid-70s. And Sunday showers are likely with a chance of thunderstorms, highs in the mid-70s. WJFF Jeffersonville, W233 AH Monticello. Public radio for the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. We're Radio Catskill.
Support comes from Forthright Cider, Youngsville. Ciders and mead crafted with locally sourced ingredients. Supporting community charities with a portion of sales through the Solidarity Cider Program. ForthrightCYDER.com.
Public radio for the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania. Radio Catskill,